May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Pues buenos días, mis hermanas y mis hermanos. Es un placer estar con ustedes después de una semana en Juárez, Mexico. Sorry. Still thinking in Spanish after an amazing week serving abroad. Being part of our effort, our collective effort here at St. Peter's to help a family that is working incredibly hard live with a bit more dignity and a bit more harmony, and to feel the deep and abiding love of God through the generosity of you, the folks who helped make this possible. It's a privilege and a joy to serve in Juarez alongside my brothers and sisters here from St. Peter's, and from our church and beyond, frankly, and to be crossing the border last Monday morning after getting up and heading out so early in the morning last Sunday. I couldn't believe how involved we would be in the process. I'm new to this thing. We have several seasoned veterans as part of this. But from the minute we arrived, we were leveling the plot, pounding in the forms, pouring the concrete for the foundation, and framing up walls, all for the first day at work. Now, I must have been absent that day in seminary where they taught you how to hang sheetrock. Sorry, Rich Hebert. I had to ask a lot of questions, and it was very hot in there. Or how to properly install wiring. I didn't even touch that. Electricity scares me. Or how to properly fling stucco at a wall. But with the proper coaching and with seasoned veterans, again, from our group, we were able to get in there and do great work right alongside the Vargas family who we were serving. We were working day in, day out with Abdalia, the mother of the family, Daniel and Alejandra, the children. And on the last day, after asking for a day's vacation to join us, Don Eleno was able to join us as well, putting us to shame, frankly, with his ability to put up stucco. Now, Eleno works in a maquiladora, which is an American factory within the free trade zone in Juarez, Mexico. And he, like so many others in his community and in that factory, get up at 4:20 every morning to be on the bus that winds its way through the city across this big, vast, sprawling city of Juarez, catching the company bus, to arrive promptly for his 6 a.m. shift, not returning until 5:20 p.m. that night, every single day. And while it's not polite to ask how much those wages were that he was earning, most folks in Juarez earn around $10 a day through their work. So that Honeywell fan we turn on at home costs something, even if it was cheap for us. It was tremendously powerful to stand up the walls of that house on the second day as we anchored it to the foundation. I couldn't help but think of that hymn, "Christ Has Laid the New Foundation," as we were doing that, being the chief and cornerstone, as we talked about today in Acts. And it was so empowering and so powerful and beautiful to be part of a process in which we were building walls that unite rather than dividing right along the U.S.-Mexico border. It was holy ground. Of course, we were surrounded in prayer by this congregation and by the family that was praying for us. They led us in prayer every single morning, including the children. And it was such a joy and a blessing to participate in God's love and God's mission through this project of creating a place where love can abide, where these beloved children of God can find safety and security and to be family in a more dignified way. It was a mission of healing, frankly, of poverty, of the injustice, of the differences that lie between the border, 15 kilometers north and 15 kilometers south. It's a whole world of difference. It's a mission that brings us together to do that work. As we participate in that, we get a keen sense of what it is to abide in God's love, that God, the Good Shepherd. That's the theme of this week, of course. Every fourth Sunday of Easter is always Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a week in which clergy think of another clever way to talk about sheep. It's another way in which we recognize the way in which we get scattered, the way in which God calls us, sometimes with the aggressive crook. You know, when the bishop comes to visit, they have the crozier, which is a nice shepherd's crook, a way of bringing the sheep in line. It's a way in which we are rescued by a God who knows us and loves us. And for me, I felt a tremendous, powerful sense of coming full circle, because going to the desert 15 years ago is when I sensed a call to the priesthood. There were some wonderful communities of faith, both north and south of the border, who were doing tremendous work of reconciliation and healing in the world. And upon going to worship in an indigenous language in Mexico, after 3 hours of Pentecostal worship in Sari, I tapped out. I couldn't hang as an Episcopalian and went for a walk on the beach instead. And there at my feet was a wooden chalice. And it scared the daylights out of me, thinking, no, God, not me. I can't do this. And so going back 15 years later as a priest was a humbling return to that sacred place for me. I felt like a sheep who had been led home and fed, cared for, led to a path of life that I couldn't have asked for or imagined. Of course, there are many reasons why we talk about shepherding in this line of work. In our scriptures, we are full of images of shepherds, our forebearers in the faith, Abraham and Isaac, the prophet Amos, King David. They were all shepherds. In Luke's gospel, the good news announcing the birth of Christ comes not to kings, not to princes, not to wise men, but to shepherds. They're the ones who do the work far away out in the wilderness where no one is watching. They're the ones who are entrusted with the sacred lives of their flock, lives which in harsh desert places yield life. It's possible through following a goat across the desert to survive on the milk they can provide. I can't eat creosote or prickly pear cactus, but goats can. And their milk would keep me alive if I were needing to cross a harsh desert landscape. Shepherding is part of our tradition in this faith. And in John's gospel, just as we heard in Acts, and Brenda, thanks for introducing that Peter has just healed somebody. Because in John's gospel, that's exactly what has happened as well. That's a parallel in our lectionary. You see, Jesus in this Good Shepherd discourse has, in chapter 9, healed somebody. Someone who was born blind. Someone who was cast out onto the margins of society. Through an accident of birth, this man born blind was supposed to have been participating in sin through his family. That was supposedly the cause of this blindness. That was an interpretation of how sin was visited out, that it would be meted out upon the children. Thank God that we know through science that God doesn't work that way exactly. But nonetheless, this man was healed as an outsider and brought into the fold in a new way. So when Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is talking about laying down his life for the sheep and looking for those beyond the fold, that includes this person who is considered other, this person who is considered perhaps less than or not given the full dignity of work and full inclusion in the worshiping community. He begged outside of the temple. He didn't necessarily get to worship in it. But through Jesus meeting him on the margins, he was able to bring him into the center. It's from the margins sometimes that we're able to get more perspective, seeing what's going on in the center. And so, through that healing, through that reaching out to this blind man, our Good Shepherd talks about laying down his life, about going for those lost and least. In John's gospel, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know this Easter story that Jesus isn't forcefully captured. He hands himself over. He lays down his life rather than having it taken. He offers it of his own free will. He protects the flock that he is caring for in his friends who are there with him in the garden, even at the time of his betrayal. If you can imagine being surrounded by the Roman equivalent of a SWAT team, Jesus hands himself over peacefully so that his friends are not butchered in that garden, in that prayerful place. He saves their lives in the present, and he saves all of our lives now and in the future. We know, of course, that he will be lifted up, drawing others to him, both through the cross, bringing in, for Jews and Gentiles alike, the good news of salvation through his willingness to die on our behalf. And we know that he will be lifted up, as we will commemorate in a few weeks' time, through the ascension. And we await again his coming in glory, as we say every week through our communion liturgy. It draws us together. It brings us into communion with Christ, that good shepherd, calling us, even now, especially now, to be his hands and feet in the world. As we were crossing back over the border and looking back at the wall that's already there, we don't need to build another one. The one at the border is plenty tall. I flipped open to the readings for this week and was struck by this passage from 1 John as we happened to cross over. This 1 John that shares with us this. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses to help? Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. When we abide in God's truth and we act, seeing our brothers and sisters in need, just as we did with Eleno, Abdalia, Danielle, and Alejandra, with the Vargas family, even if it's only one family in Mexico, reaching out beyond those we consider part of the American fold, we participate in God's mission. And we're called to do that as well, not just in our own, not just abroad. We're called to do that here at home as well. We're called to do that in our neighborhoods. We're called to do that outside of our Episcopal fold. We're called to reach out to others with that deep abiding peace, with that shalom of God, with that que Dios le bendiga that we offer our world. One of the places where I often visit in my preparation for preaching is one of the blogs written by Caroline Lewis, who is a New Testament professor at Luther Seminary, who writes weekly commentaries on the lectionary. And she reminded us and all of her readers of the inconvenient nature of this Good Shepherd passage. It's one thing to think about us being fluffy little sheep and abiding in our shucksness of like, oh, Jesus, we've gone and done it again. Please save us. Pull me out of this hole. Pull me back to the priesthood. Yeah, fine. I'll go. Okay. It's okay to abide in being sheep. But it's a bit passive. Because if we're Christ's hands and feet in the world, it calls us not just to be sheep. It calls us to be shepherds. It calls us to lay down our lives for others. How can we lay down those privileges that we've been entrusted with? How can we offer up something that brings life and reconciliation and justice into our world? How can we reach out our hands in love as Christ has done for us? We're called to serve. We're called to serve others, all those beyond our fold. We're called to be shepherds, shepherding in new ways of being in our world. In kind of the 1 John way of existing, where we recognize and respond to the needs of others. So I stand here this morning incredibly grateful for the work that all of you have done to send a group of us to Juarez. And if you're visiting us or are unaware of what we've done, you'll learn more about that. We will present more about this. But for all of you who have attended a pasta dinner, or who have bought a square foot of housing, or who have prayed for our group as we've been abroad, you have participated in God's reconciliation in the world. God's healing of the injustice of terrible housing for those who work and serve in our world, making things that we find convenient here in the States. All of us in some small way have participated in this. And we continue to participate in that life of Christ here at home as well. So here we are, both sheep and shepherds, called to reach out our hands in love as Christ's hands and feet in the world, as Teresa of Avila reminds us. So as we go from this place fed with a little bit of bread for the journey, I invite you to think of yourself as a shepherd, to care for those beyond our fold, to do that work when no one else is looking, and to do it with courage and joy, knowing that work is already afoot in the world, and we're joining a great family with great ancestors who have done so before. For Christ's sake. Amen.